Hey everyone, welcome to the Stories of Language Learners. I'm your host, Charles. Today's guest is language coach Michelle from Italy. She is the creator of Michelle Language, which is an amazing Instagram account where she shares content about studying language, self-development, and mindfulness. Here are some of the things we talk about in this episode. How to organize an effective study plan, dividing your studies into learning mode and revision mode. The importance of challenging yourself when learning a new language. Michelle shared with us her experience learning English, Japanese, Spanish, German, Korean, and French, using immersion for learning, the importance of staying consistent, using foreign languages to connect with new people and making new friends. I had a blast talking with Michelle, and I'm really sure that you guys are gonna love this episode. Before getting to the interview with Michelle, let's hear a message from another listener. As some of you may know, in season 4, I launched a new segment on the show. This new segment is for you, the listener. If you would like to participate in the podcast, this space is for you. I want you guys to share your voice and your message. So, if you are interested in participating, feel free to send me a message on social media, okay? Today's listener is Gustavo from Colombia. I think I met Gustavo through the Fluency Breakthrough Challenge, and then I got the chance to talk with him several times in the online meetings of our community. I'm really glad that he's participating on the podcast. So, Gustavo, thank you so much for your support and for participating in this segment. I really appreciate it. Now, here is Gustavo.
Thank you, Charles, for inviting me to this session in your podcast. I remembered that I started to listen to Stories of Language Learners podcast in 2020 after I finished the Stephanie's Fluency Breakthrough Challenge. One guy in the challenge told me about this podcast, a podcast where many English learners share their experience in the learning process. In general, I like several aspects about this podcast. For instance, the interviews are based on personal experiences, since the starting point with the learning process with English to mistake and success stories. Another aspect is about the tips and resources shared by interviewers, for example, websites, books, other podcasts to improve our English. Finally, the passion and dedication of Charles is an important factor because it's an extra motivation for many English learners to stay on the road. After the above mentioned elements, I definitely recommend these podcasts. Nowadays, there are many podcasts to improve our English skills. However, a great part of them is from native English speakers. That is not bad. I consider that this podcast is a message that we could achieve a good English level as a second language. On another hand, it's difficult to choose one episode as my favorite because any episode is special. Although the interview to Nathaniel was interesting because I follow Nathaniel's YouTube channel. I know a little more about him. One interesting point during the interview was the Nathaniel's story about how to learn a language and what is the most important to start a learning process. I would like to share with other listeners and English learner to enjoy the whole process, not only focused on the final outcome, get fluency, obviously, but also enjoy the smallest step every single day. Finally, I would like to say thank you so much for your work, Charlie. It's amazing.
Learning a new language changed my life, and I'm sure that it can change yours too. One of my main goals with this podcast is to share amazing and inspiring stories from other learners, so we all can stay motivated and get inspired over and over again. I hear on a daily basis how much you guys love and appreciate the show. So now you can support the work I've been doing with this podcast by becoming a member on Patreon. All the financial support there will go to the podcast and our community. Also, by becoming a member on Patreon, you'll get extra content. The link to join us on Patreon is in the show notes. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate your support. Hey everyone, welcome to the Stories of Language Learners. Today I'm so excited to have Michelle on the show. Hi Michelle, thank you so much for being here. How are you?
Hi Tellus, I'm really good. And what about you? Actually, I'm so excited to be here because this is my first time being interviewed in a podcast for language learners. So this is so exciting. Thank you so much for thinking of me.
Amazing. I'm really glad that you are here today and I'm doing really well. And okay, just a little bit of background story, how I ended up in this call. I connect with Michelle on Instagram. I saw her content and I thought to myself, I'm gonna try to invite Michelle to be on the podcast. She also has a podcast that I listen to. And yes, I sent her a message and she was so kind to agree to be here. And she also is a language learner. She has been learning a lot of different languages that we're gonna talk about. So yes, thank you for being here. Could you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. So as Chelle said previously, hi everyone. My name is Michelle and I'm a 23 years old full-time college student from Italy. So I'm Italian, but I have been learning languages like since 2004. So basically since I was in first grade, and the first language that I started learning was English, and I immediately fell in love with it, even if I was so young. And my parents noticed this passion of mine and decided to basically fund my studies and fund this passion of mine and basically encouraged me to keep my studies really high with language learning. That's how I started basically. And so basically I've been speaking English for 17 years more or less, and I still make mistakes. So that's why I decided also to continue my studies even in university. And right now I'm studying languages and cultures for communication at the University of Milan, my city. And my two main languages are English and Japanese at the moment. So this is a little bit of myself as a language learner, but maybe some of you may know me as Michelle Languages, because I've been having like this Instagram page for almost 4 years. But this one, Michelle Languages, is the latest one because I'm one of those people that really changes her mind really frequently. For example, right now I'm renovating everything because I want to bring new quality content for all of you guys. I'm trying to build my community for young adults who are interested in studying language learning and becoming a more aware young adult in this really crazy world. And basically I'm just sharing my journey on different platforms. So I'm a content creator that just basically is a social media geek.
Yes, we were talking a little bit before starting recording about creating content online. And also Michelle, she has a YouTube channel, the podcast, and she has this Instagram with a lot of tips and tricks and advice for language learners in general, which is really awesome. So you mentioned that you started developing a passion for language when you were really young. That's really awesome. So your parents saw it and they decided to invest. And now you are building a career out of it, which is really cool. So, okay, the next question I have here is, could you share a little bit about your journey with language when you start learning? You mentioned about your native language, which is Italian, and also you have been learning English for quite a while, but you know other languages as well, right? Could you share with us your journey with all the languages that you know?
Sure, of course. So I'm gonna do basically a chronological thing, chronological history on my language learning journey. So as I already said, I started with English, but when I was in middle school, I started to learn French because of what was a compulsory subject in my area and in my local school. So I did 3 years of French, and unfortunately, I didn't have the chance to continue with French, but I still remember something. And actually, I would like to start start revising French maybe next year, because actually when I read, I can understand it a lot, but my speaking skills are really rusty and I would really like to revise French in the future. And I also speak Spanish. So when I was in high school, I went to a linguistic high school, because here in Italy, the situation is a little bit complicated when it comes to high schools. And basically we can choose more or less the kind of subjects that we want to study. So I went to an accountability / languages school. So it was really awesome. It was really cool. And I got the chance to study both English and Spanish on a almost advanced level, and including some business skills as well. So I think that I'm pretty comfortable with business English. Business Spanish, maybe I just need to revise a little bit. But I try to speak Spanish as much as I can. So for example, I try to follow Spanish content creators. They have a Instagram. Like for example, there's a really nice girl that her name is Alba, and she also does, like, for example, study with me on Twitch. She has lots of videos on YouTube. So I try to keep in touch with my Spanish this way. So immersing myself. I studied German for almost 4 years, but I didn't have a good relationship with German, unfortunately. So I decided to leave it behind. So it's really rusty. I would say that right now I'm in A2 level, even though I got the B1 certificate. But I really love German, but I think that back in the days, German didn't love me back, unfortunately. And then, well, this is a really nice story, because I have been in love with Japan and its culture and its language since I was like 7 years old or less. So it's been like a long love story. And I decided to self-study a little bit of Japanese on my own since 2012. So I was really young. But then I got the opportunity to start learning Japanese in 2017 at university. So it's part of my major. And basically, I've been learning Japanese for almost 4 years. I wouldn't say that I'm perfect. Actually, I'm an intermediate learner, because of course Japanese is really tough, but it's my favorite language of all time. And last but not least, I decided, after a couple of years of on and off, so not really serious studies, I decided last year, so basically it was November, to self-study Korean from Japanese. So a whole new experience, a whole new journey, but I have a soft spot for Asian languages. So basically, more or less, this is my story with language learning.
That's so interesting that you are using Japanese to learn Korean. This is so cool. A few people know about it. I think that I already talked about it on the podcast, but I am attempting to learn Japanese as well. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I love the culture from Japan. I think it's so fascinating. And when I was a teenager, I used to watch a lot of anime. So I was obsessed with it. So as I got older and then I started to work, I didn't have too much time and I stopped completely watching anime. So right now that I'm attempting to learn Japanese, the thing that I'm doing is basically trying to immerse myself in Japanese by watching anime again, which has been so fun to watch anime again. Do you like to watch anime?
Yeah, I do. Actually, I'm more of a casual anime watcher. So basically, I watch the animes that I'm really interested in or the ones that got my attention during the current season. Like, for example, at the moment, I am watching regularly Boku no Hero, so My Hero Academia for English speakers, and a new anime that is called Tokyo Revengers, and it's really, really nice. But yeah, basically I follow the animes that are popular in that moment, at the moment, or maybe the old ones that belong to my childhood, maybe I rewatch them, or maybe the ones that I'm really interested in. So like, for example, last year my boyfriend convinced me to watch Hunter x Hunter, and it was like the best thing ever. First of all, because Hunter x Hunter became my favorite anime of all time. Second of all, because the language over there was not really that difficult at all. So it really helped me to understand the things that I studied that year. So last year, there was a lot of keigo. So for me, it was really, really interesting. And I think that immersion is one of the best things that you can do when you want to, especially consolidate the level that you're studying for Japanese. So it's really, really nice.
Yes. And so I'm trying to, like, at least in the weekend, to watch like 5 or 6 episodes just to keep in contact with the language. And something that I notice is that all of the sudden, sometimes I can understand some words and the meaning of them just by listening and watching anime, and without like studying at all, just by watching things, which I think it's really interesting the way that our brain works. Oh, okay, I took some notes here. Actually, I wrote here that you mentioned studygram. And I have never heard this expression. What is a studygram? I'm curious.
Oh, well, it's really easy. So basically, studygram is a combination of study or studying and Instagram. So basically, a studygram is an Instagram account. It talks about studying things. It can be law, it can be business, it can be marketing, it can be medicine. But there are also language learning accounts. And the ones that are focusing more maybe on tips or maybe sharing bits of a language, or those are who are purely focusing on language learning, are also called or language gram or langram. But it's basically a branch of studygrams. Studygram is like a whole big family of people who enjoy studying and sharing tips and tricks on how to do that, how to live a more sustainable life, student life, basically.
That's amazing. Yes, I love this expression, the studygram. It's a combination of studying and Instagram. Okay, so the next question that I have here is, what techniques, methods, and resources did you use to learn this language? This is gonna be a little bit hard, I guess, like to define, because you know several languages, but do you have something to share about techniques, methods that you used in general in each one of these languages that you have been studying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, there are more or less patterns in my study approach, because I studied the majority of the languages that I know in school. So I'm more of a traditional student. So I approach languages in the first place by a little bit of immersion in order to understand if I am really interested in learning that language. And if there's something that really gets my attention and something clicks inside of me, I instantly research and look for a textbook, because I'm one of those people that really needs a book. Actually, I'm a book junkie. I really like purchasing books, or really like taking notes from them, or maybe doing exercise. So I need something that more or less has everything in the same place, because otherwise I would feel lost. So this is my study approach. And when I get comfortable to, like, maybe I complete the beginner level and I think that maybe more or less I did everything to cover that kind of level, I basically enter into revision mode. I usually divide my language learning journey in learning mode and revision mode. So when I feel comfortable with all the topics that are usually considered as beginner level, I always go into revision mode. I create flashcards for vocabulary, which is my weak point. So I train myself a lot to memorizing and recognizing words. I try to do exercises in order to not forget the grammar, but I tend not to forget that much grammar, to be honest, because what I do for the most part of the revision mode time is immersing myself. Because through immersion, you actually consolidate. You, when you watch something or maybe you listen to a song that you like, you tend to recognize the words, the patterns that you already know. So you just basically familiarize even more with what you study. This is more or less my technique. It's really traditional, but for me, as I am an audiovisual learner, this is the best approach for me, because in order to memorize and to process everything efficiently, I need to listen and watch at the same time.
I really admire people who are able to study and use books, because books are really great, because you can learn so much. You can increase your vocabulary, you can increase your knowledge, you will have more things to discuss and talk about. I wish that I could be like a book reader. I'm not. I don't know what happened. When I start to read, I start to sleep at the same time. But what you mentioned about having a place where you can find a lot of things, like everything in just one place, it's amazing, because you can follow the instructions and you can go slowly, step by step, and improving. And also, it's so interesting what you mentioned, because yes, sometimes when you see a new word or a new expression and you study it, after a while, when you hear that or when you see that, you will notice, oh, I saw this in that book, or I saw that when that person said that in that video or in that podcast. So it's really interesting the way that our brain works. Once we notice and once we pay attention to a new word or a new expression, our brain will notice when we saw it again, right? Okay, so I have a few questions here that basically they were inspired in some of the episodes that I listened to your podcast. So you will probably talk about some of these things briefly, but I recommend you guys checking out Michelle's podcast because you will find more information about these topics. So the next question, do you think that it's important to challenge ourselves when learning a new language?
Yes, of course. Because, of course, learning a new language is already a challenge. It's already something that you do in order to prove yourself that you can do something. You can acquire a new skill, even if you're not a child anymore. Because we all know that children basically acquire languages way faster than adults. But even if you're young or an older adult, you can do that. And I think that sometimes doing challenges, not consistently, I think that not consistently is great. You can do challenges, like for example, maybe this week I will study 1 hour every single day. And this is like a challenge. It's really minimal, but it can be really effective because challenges really work on our inner motivation. So they basically drive us as people toward that goal. So basically they can help us reach a goal. So maybe, for example, I have an upcoming test, like for example a certification test, an exam, and so in order to pass that, I'm gonna set a challenge, like for example for 30 days I'm gonna study consistently and stuff like that. They can be really minimal. And as I said previously, you know, in Instagram, especially in the study LangGround community, there are many people who are organizing challenges. Like for example, there is the very famous 30 days of recording challenge, which is basically a speaking challenge, and you have prompts for every single day and you basically record yourself talking in your target language about a specific topic for a minute or maybe two based on your level, basically. And these challenges can be really, really awesome. And as I said previously, not doing them consistently, because otherwise you will feel like you're doing something. It can be a burden on the long run. And this can really lead to burnout, and you will basically lose the motivation and you think that you wasted all your time on this language. So you have to manage all the things properly. Otherwise, you wasted a lot of time, money, because otherwise you will feel burnt out and not wanting to study that language anymore.
I loved when you said about learning is already a challenge, right? Learning a new language, because this is so true. Because yes, it is hard learning a new language, right? It takes time and you have to put a lot of effort in your journey with this new language, because it's not like, oh, fluent in 3 months, like I see in some courses, which is kind of insane when I see this advertising, because I don't know, I have some negative thoughts about it, but I don't think it's like possible to learn to be fluent and completely in a language in just 3 months.
Mm-mm-mm.
So it takes time, it is a process. And another thing that you mentioned is about it is important to challenge yourself even more to boost your language learning journey. And we were talking before starting to record this podcast, I mentioned to Michelle that back in 2019, I decided to join a challenge online from Stephanie, the English coach. And the main goal of that challenge was to have calls and to connect with people from all around the world. And that challenge truly was a boost in my English learning journey. I improved my active vocabulary so much because I was using the language in an active way by connecting with other people and having fun. So yes, being part of communities, joining challenges, I think it's really important when you are trying to learn a new skill. Because you can connect with people who are going through the same process and you can help each other, right? And sometimes challenge can be intense, but it's really worth it because you are going to put the effort and you are going to see the results. So yes, I truly believe that challenge ourselves, it's really important. You mentioned this challenge about recording yourself in 30 days. Have you ever participated in this challenge?
Actually, not, because I'm really inconsistent with challenges. I never do that because after a while, I lose the track of everything, because the main problem is that as a full-time college student, I have so many things that I need to pay attention to. And so basically, the majority of the time, I just forget. Not because I don't want to do that, but because I forget, because I have too many things that I have to keep in mind. And I usually skip 1 or 2 days, like after less than a week. So I'm not really good with challenges, this kind of challenges. Uh-huh. But the challenges, like, for example, I want to complete this chapter for this week. Yes, those kind of challenges. Yes. So basically, challenges that I do with myself in order to complete something. Those are the kind of challenges that really work for me.
Amazing. Thanks for sharing. And I remember when I participated in this, the Fluency Breakthrough Challenge, actually I participated 3 times in this challenge because it was really effective for me and it was so much fun to connect with other English learners and to talk with them. But yes, this challenge that I participated in was really intense. Like every day you would have to complete a task on Instagram, but me too, I couldn't complete all the tasks. But I really tried to do the main task, which was to do calls, and even though I didn't complete all the tasks during that 30 days, I did the most I could and ended up working fine. I learned a lot and I improved a lot. Okay, let's move on to the next question. Do you have some tips for those who want to organize an effective study plan but don't know how to do it?
Ooh, this is actually part of what I do as a language coach. Because as a language coach, I do not teach a language, because otherwise I will be a language teacher. But I give the tools to my students to build an effective study routine, more than a study plan. Study routine that is tailored to their learning style, because we are all different learners. Like, for example, as you mentioned before, you do not use textbooks, and it's completely fine, because probably your brain does not work really efficiently in retaining information from textbooks. Maybe you prefer other resources, like, for example, immersion. So that's what I basically teach to my students, is that it's okay if you don't follow the traditional path, because we are all different learners and we all have different time, different energy that is available for us on a daily basis to study. So as a language coach, I basically work together with them to create the study plan and the study routine that might work for them, of course, because before perfectioning more or less the study plan, you need to go through trials and errors. And it's from those experiences, from the bad experiences, from the moment in which you feel blue and low of energies, those are the moments that you actually understand and know yourself a little bit more. So when you want to create an effective study plan, the main things that I suggest my students are thinking about how much time you can dedicate to language learning. And you have to be honest with yourself. Because, for example, if you think, oh, maybe during weekdays I can dedicate a whole hour to language learning, that is not true. The majority of the times you will spend maybe 15, 30 minutes, because the day is real long. You have to work, you have to run your errands and do all this stuff. So what I always suggest maybe is to break the study sessions, maybe 10, 15 minutes in the morning in order to give you the motivation and starting your day with the smile. And maybe 15, 10 minutes in the evening as part of your self-care moment. Because language learning for the majority of us is a hobby. So it can be considered as part of our self-care moment. And part of also a moment in which you want to self-develop yourself. Because language is something that you develop, is a skill that you can acquire. So as I always say, I highly believe that languages are one of the greatest tools for self-development. Because you get to know yourself, you get to know another culture, you get to know a lot of different things. The power the language learning holds is incredible, and many people underestimate it. So when you want to organize an effective study plan, stay true to yourself, organize. Maybe you don't need to plan everything in detail in advance, just go with the flow, but consistency is key, of course, because without consistency you won't do anything.
Yes, I love that. And the thing that I would add, it's basically what you just said. Yes, consistency, it's so important. because it's gonna make you to really acquire a new language if you stay consistent and in contact with the language, because this is part of my journey. I didn't have like study plan or something like that, because for me my learning journey with English was a mess. It wasn't like I didn't put on a paper, I didn't have like a structure, but one thing that helped me was to stay consistent and to stay in contact with the language. Awesome. So the next question that I have here is, what opportunities and experiences learning a new language brought to you?
So, a lot different, because actually, especially with this whole situation that we were in lockdown, I found myself speaking more time English, or maybe using English more actively than Italian, because through this Studygram account, I got to know so many different people from all over the world. So this language learning journey really helped me to meet amazing friends that I really cannot wait to meet and hug in person, in real life. Maybe hopefully they're gonna come to Milan, or maybe I will go to see them. The majority of them will probably be in Japan and South Korea, so I really hope to have the opportunity to see them. And the opportunities the language learning brought to me is, of course, all of this whole content creation journey, because if I was not learning languages, I really do not know what I would be doing, because it has always been part of me, my personality, and what I wanted to do in life. And I think that the person that I am today is because I learned so many different things from languages and cultures. And I also did a couple of experiences abroad. So always in English speaking countries. I went once to England and twice to the US. And those experiences made me realize how lucky I am, and made me really realize how we are all connected, even though if we cannot understand, or maybe we use like a language that is not ours, we are all human beings and we're all part of the same journey, more or less. And so basically languages enrich me as a person on a whole level, so 360 degrees, how we say in Italy.
Yes, this is amazing. Yes, and wow, I could say so many things about what learning a new language brought to me, because yes, this is something that I always talk about, that I think everyone should learn a new language, right? Because it's life-changing. The opportunity, especially English, that is the international language, you are able to connect and communicate with people from the other side of the world, people from so many different cultures and backgrounds, and this is phenomenal. And also you mentioned that you started this whole project of learning and putting content out there as a content creator. And by doing that, you were able to connect with other people and use the language with them, which is really awesome. I have been having the same experience with this podcast, connect with you from Italy and other people that I also interview from other countries. This is incredible. I really love the fact that besides we are in different countries and different continents, we can get together and to have a conversation in a foreign language to know more about each other. This is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally agree.
Amazing. Okay, next question. What is the best advice you could give to someone who is learning a new language? It can be more than one.
Oh, there are several, actually. And you know what? When I have to speak them out loud, I always forget them. Like, my mind goes blank, nothing, error 404. Like, Internet Explorer is not working. But that's why I also decided to open a language learning account, because over there, people can always find and reference all my tips and tricks over there. But I think that the best tip that I can give to your listeners is keep having fun with languages. Keep having fun. Otherwise, no motivation, you will lead to burnout. And feel free to change your study approach or your study routine whenever you think that something is not working. Do not insist in, no, this must work, I spent a lot of money on that. If that doesn't work for you, if that doesn't bring you joy, as always Marie Kondo says, Marie Kondo is one of the best organizers, self-development kind of influencers, especially for organizing, like, for example, the things that we have in our houses. So if that thing that you were thinking of getting rid of, it's not sparking you joy anymore, it's not giving you that the feeling of something good, you have to get rid of it. Same goes for language learning. If something is not working for you and just basically becomes like a trouble or something that you do not enjoy anymore, get rid of it. It can be a target language. It can be a resource. It can be anything. Just get rid of it. You have to keep this thing as a moment of self-care, as I already said. So it's a moment for you, not a stressful moment. It must be a moment for you that you have to dedicate to yourself and the things that you love, your target language and the culture that revolves around that language or the country is. It really depends. Oh, so if, like, for example, Spanish or Portuguese are spoken in many different countries and in many different continents as well. So it really depends on also what you want to focus as well. And yeah, so keep everything fun. Get rid of the things that are not sparkling joy anymore. That's more or less it.
Amazing. I love that. Yes, and I truly believe that having fun and enjoying the process, it's so important, right? Awesome. Okay, now to wrap it up, let's move on to the rapid fire questions segment. I started this segment back in season 3 because I received feedback from listeners and they would say to me, Charles, we would love to know more about the guest, not just learning language stuff. So I created these 8 weird questions that I'm gonna ask you to know a little bit about you. So you can answer them super quick, but feel free to expand in any of them, okay?
Okay.
First one, what is your favorite food?
And this might sound like a stereotype. As an Italian, my favorite food is pizza. Of course.
Amazing. Next one, which tourist place would you recommend for someone interested in visiting your country?
Okay. Many people are interested in Italy because, of course, it's one of the most interesting countries in the world. So I always give 2 recommendations. One, if you're interested in our traditional culture, know a little bit about history and stuff like that, and maybe, and also good cuisine. But I think that everywhere in Italy can eat really well. So that is not really main point. But if you want to know a little bit of the traditional side of Italy, please check out Florence, Rome, Naples as well. Every single big city, but also the small one, are really nice in Italy. But the big 3, the big historical 3, Florence, Rome, and Naples are a go-to. But if you're interested in knowing a little bit more about the modern Italy, so what is going on in our country, if you're interested in the life, the maybe nightlife here in Italy, or maybe you're specifically interested maybe in fashion, design, which are something that really characterize our country, music. So if you want to visit like a very alive city, let's call it that, and you're looking for a mix of tradition and modern things, please check out Milan, because Milan, I think, it's the real European city that we have. All the other cities are really traditional, are really back in time, and it will be like going back in time, maybe in Renaissance or maybe Roman Empire, and it will be like a whole different kind of journey. It's like getting a time machine. But if you want something that is really unique, I think that you should visit Milan, and not just because it's my city, and I really love that.
Amazing. Thanks for sharing. Next one. Could you share one interesting thing about your culture?
There are so many about the Italian culture, but one thing that I think really makes me feel different and unique from all the other people that I know from all over the world, especially my internet friends, is our hand gesture culture. Like, we gesticulate so much. And I think that is so unique because actually hand gesturing really helps us convey the message more efficiently. And of course, this, the hand with all the fingers grouped together, this is Italian. This is Italy. I know it's a stereotype, but I think it's really, really nice and makes us unique in some kind of way.
That's amazing. Yes, this is really interesting because I can notice while I'm talking with you, you are using your hands a lot, which is really awesome because body language can express, you can use this as a way to express yourself in a unique way, right?
Mm-mm-mm.
It's so cool to see the body language. Okay, what is your favorite hobby?
Besides language learning, I really like music. Listening to music, I used to have a rock band, I used to sing, I used to play the guitar. So music is my second passion. It's my biggest passion along with language learning.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so do you have like some record from from the time that you were in this rock band?
Oh, I was a real rookie and my band was a real crap. So, you know, those basically bands that do pop punk when they're 17 years old because they want to get out of their town. More or less, this was our stereotype. We were really like the kind of stereotype band, but it was really nice. Maybe you can find something on YouTube looking for Over Edge band, but there are many videos with the new singer, and to be honest, they do a whole different kind of genre. But when I was over there, we used to do many pop punk songs, rock songs, and also pop covers. Like, for example, one of my favorite was Locked Out of Heaven by Bruno Mars, but in a very rock version.
That's amazing. Thanks for sure. Next one. Do you have a favorite movie or series? If yes, which one? Or which is the last movie or series you have watched?
Ooh, okay, so I'm not really a series junkie. At the moment, I'm binge watching more or less Modern Family because it's really funny. But I'm more of an anime girl and I really enjoy watching anime, and I have always a top three that I have to mention. So the first one is Hunter x Hunter, and the second one is Katekyoshi Hitman Reborn, also known as Tutor Hitman Reborn. And the third one is Death Note, of course. It's really go-to. It was my first anime, and so I am really attached to it. And the voice actors, both the Japanese one and the Italian one for Light Yagami, who is the main character in Death Note, they are super talented and I love their voices. So that's why always Death Note have a special place in my heart as well.
It's amazing. Okay, do you have a favorite song or band? If yes, which one? Or which is the last band or artist you listen to?
This is real tough because as a former musician, I really enjoy listening to different kind of genres. I really can go in a single day from pop punk to J-rock, so a lot of more Japanese kind of music, and then maybe some pop or maybe hip-hop, and then K-pop. So everything is like super merged together, and there are a couple of groups that I've been listening to a lot lately. One is the British band Don Broco. They're really, really nice, especially if you like alternative rock. Then the majority of the time when I'm not listening to Don Broco, I'm listening to BTS because I really like the variety in their discography because they're really, really nice in that kind of sense. And another Korean band, which is more pop rock, and it's called Day 6.
Awesome. Next one. Do you have a favorite book or author? If yes, which one? Or which is the last book you read?
Favorite author? Probably, first off, I haven't been reading for a long time. So I would say that I really enjoyed back in the days reading young adults, like for example, Hunger Games and all that kind of books. But at the moment, I'm more focusing on nonfiction because I really want to grow and bring also new content for my audience. And that's why I also want to encourage everybody, and especially myself, I want to encourage myself to embark on a journey of self-development. So at the moment, I'm reading Atomic Habits, the real go-to book for anyone who's learning in mindfulness and self-development. And it's by James Clean, I think. I do not remember the correct name of the other, but Atomic Habits is a go-to book.
Amazing. Next one. Who has influenced your career or your language learning journey the most?
My English teacher from middle school. She was my biggest inspiration. We're still in contact nowadays, even though I was her student basically 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I went to the first time abroad studying in the UK, and she was there with me. So we still have a very special relationship. I actually sent her a very nice message for Teachers Appreciation Week, and she basically burst into tears because I owe her everything. My passion for languages, thinking about building something out of it. She is my biggest inspo, and she will always be.
That's incredible. Thanks for sharing. Last question. Where can people find you online? And if someone is interested in having a coaching session with you, what should they do?
Okay, so as we said many times before, you can always find me on Instagram at michellelanguages, michelle.languages on Instagram. But sometimes I do YouTube videos Majority of the time, they are vlogs about my life. So if you want to discover a little bit more about what I'm doing in my university career, and you want to see a little bit of Italy, be sure to check my vlogs. But I'm also trying to build a language learning channel. So you will see videos about my textbooks, how I'm studying X language and stuff like that. So I'm trying to bring more content, but now it's a little bit difficult because it's final season. And you can find me sometimes also on Twitch, and I always tell that on Instagram because I really like doing daddy with me sessions, and we can study together with the Pomodoro method. So basically we study together for 25 minutes and we have a 5-minute break in which we chit chat all together. So basically Instagram, YouTube and Twitch. Oh, and if you're interested in the language coaching session, you can always find the link to my Buy Me a Coffee platform on Instagram, or otherwise you can always send me a DM and I will be super, super happy to send you the link. Or maybe if you have any information, you have any inquiries, I'm always there to answer you guys. So don't not feel afraid also, because I give lessons. So basically I coach both adults, both college students. So feel free to contact me anytime without hesitation.
Amazing. Yes, I'm going to put all of these links in the show notes so you guys can connect with Michelle. So Michelle, thank you so much for being here recording this episode with me. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you, Charles. It was a really great opportunity. As I said, this was the first time I was interviewed for a podcast. So it's really, really amazing. And thank you so much for the interesting questions, because they were amazing. And I really had a good time with you. So thank you so much.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. If you can, please share the podcast with your friends. Subscribe to the show so you can get notified when I release new episodes. And feel free to leave a review. I would love to read it. Now I have a message for you. Remember this, you don't have to be alone when learning a new language. You can find awesome communities to be part of. The number one reason why I was able to level up my English is because I decided to get out of my comfort zone and connect with language learners from all around the globe. So, if you have been struggling to improve your speaking skills, and if you can't find someone else to have a conversation, I want to encourage you to participate in our online encounters and to join our global community on Telegram. Since June of 2020, I've been organizing English speaking sessions on Zoom for us to hang out. In there, you can meet new people, make new friends, and practice English while having fun. If you can't use Telegram, don't worry. I always announce our encounters on social media, and you can always DM me so I can send you the link to our meetings. So that's it. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.